Welcome to News Tribune on Tap. I'm Gary Castor, managing editor at the Jefferson City News Tribune and host of News Tribune on Tap, a weekly conversation about news and issues in Jefferson City that matter to you.
Today's special guest is LaVon Compton. Hello, LaVon.
Hello, Gary.
So the formal title for LaVon is Adjutant General, Missouri National Guard, but LaVon's a longtime friend, and we're just excited to have him here on the podcast. LaVon, let's just talk about, share with our listeners some of your background. You're a Missouri boy through and through, yes?
I am, and so proud of that. I can talk about this for a long time. I'll try to be brief. I like to start off my background with, I'm Linda Compton's husband.
There you go.
And we are blessed with two beautiful children, adult children now, and they made good choices and married two beautiful folks as well. Their names, our children's names, are Chance and Emily married Aaron, and they blessed us with three grandchildren. Chance married Ellie. We're a military family. Emily did 5 years of active duty, met her husband, Aaron. And he's deployed today, as a matter of fact. Chance is on active duty, about to join the Missouri National Guard, in fact, and married Ellie, who's attending medical school up at A.T. Steele in Kirksville. We're exceptionally proud of them. Our grandchildren's names are Aubrey, Cade, and Zeb. They're good cowboy names. I'm an old cowboy at heart. Linda and I both grew up on farms in Bates County, West Central Missouri. And I'm so thankful for that background, those formative years. I'm proud of the fact that my parents, my mom and dad, were what I call modern day sharecroppers. Our livelihood in the summer was putting up hay. We would pull into another farmer's field and we would have the duty of mowing, raking, and baling that hay, and oftentimes get the pleasure of hauling the owner's portion of the hay in for extra money too. And our winters were filled with cutting firewood. That was my parents' livelihood. Hay in the summer, firewood in the winter. But they were fortunate enough to have a small farm where they ran cattle and put in row crop of corn, soybeans, some winter wheat, and on occasion, oats. Again, that hard work family pulling together to make ends meet, shaped who I am today still. Upon graduating high school, I was encouraged to extend my education. I had the favor of playing high school basketball. It could be argued how good I was or wasn't, but I did have a small college called Wentworth Military Academy in Lexington, Missouri, that offered me a basketball scholarship to help make ends for this additional schooling to pay for it. The scholarship, as you might imagine, didn't pay for all of the tuition and fees. And I was introduced to the professor of military science by my now college coach, Tom Hughes, introduced me to Major Thompson, who I immediately took a liking to, just a salt of the earth kind of human being that you knew he immediately took interest in you and your well-being and providing you with opportunities. As such, he said, "Hey, LaVon, I think we can send you to basic training, basic camp, and you may earn a scholarship." I was fortunate that I did, because that scholarship paid for the rest of me to attend Wentworth, go on and earn a commission as a second lieutenant in our United States Army. That was a two-year university. I needed to complete my four-year degree before being assessed onto active duty. So I finished at then Central Missouri State University, today University of Central Missouri. And it was during those last 2 years that I met Linda and we started dating. Well, I'd met her previous years. I chased her through high school. She wouldn't have me in high school, Gary. Yeah. I had to go prove myself.
Apparently.
Yes. I don't blame her. So Linda and I were a two-man hay crew through the final 2 years of my college. And she helped put me through college, feed me while she fed me.
Yes.
Hey, for those of your listeners who I'd offer, hey, find a good mate, right?
Yeah.
That can cook and drive a tractor and maybe throw a hay bale or two. I was fortunate. I graduated UCM and we were assessed on active duty. The rest of this background is to kind of give you some insights in all the opportunities that just come with serving our state and our great nation. Linda and I took off together to our first duty assignment was in Germany, was part of the 1st Armored Division. We deployed twice to Northern Macedonia and to Bosnia. If we weren't deployed, we were training to be ready for deployment. Our daughter, Emily, was born in Germany in a German hospital, a Krankenhaus. After that assignment, we were brought back to the States to serve at the 101st Airborne Division, where I commanded a infantry rifle company and loved all of it. But through the training and the deployments, we thought we'd try to slow down and get to know each other and our children better, make time for one another, because it is family first. We were introduced to the Active Guard and Reserve program and transitioned one day as an active duty regular Army soldier. And literally the next day, I was fortunate enough to be hired by the Missouri National Guard as an active duty guardsman. That was in 2000. A year later, 9/11 would happen, and our National Guard would take off from an operational tempo perspective, like I suspect it's never served before. Maybe similar in the World Wars, but the large difference is during the World Wars and up through Desert Storm, Desert Shield, our guard was a strategic reserve. It was like break glass when needed, and the guard would come and help do a marvelous job in securing our nation's defense. The War on Terror created the operational tempo and requirement for consistent every year after year deployments to again secure our nation's defense. With that kind of operational tempo the last 24 plus years, as you can imagine, there are multiple opportunities. I've had the fortune of having command through now the Missouri National Guard, but the company and the battalion and the brigade along the way, with a number of great leaders that I've learned from immensely, been mentored by and shaped by to enhance my own capabilities and competencies, and I'm so thankful for them. In this military, whether you're in the Guard or the active component or the reserves, not just assignment opportunities, but education opportunities, and I've been blessed with those as well. The past 34 years that I've now served has just been a tremendous ride for my wife, for myself, our family, and the teammates that we've got to serve with. We're so proud of it and proud to be part of it and encourage others to join.
Yeah. For folks who may not be familiar with the Missouri National Guard, what do you perceive today the role of the Guard is?
The National Guard, and maybe I'll start with what the role is of the Adjutant General and thicken it to your great question. On behalf of the governor, I command and control the Missouri National Guard, provide vision and direction to meet our National Guard's dual mission requirement. Your question of what is the role of the Guard, it's to be able to secure our nation's defense as part of the total joint military force, active guard and reserves fighting together, working together as one team to secure, again, our nation's defense and this freedom that we enjoy today. What's unique about the National Guard, and I love, is the governor is my boss, and he is our state commander in chief. Well, I have multiple bosses, but I love the fact that our governor is our state commander in chief, and our National Guard has the role of supporting Missouri citizens when our governor calls us to duty. And as you know, he hasn't been shy about that over the last few years. And we're so proud of the fact that he has confidence in our Guard winning. And we've done it a few different times. And I'm glad to talk about that should you want me to.
Sure. Well, absolutely. So since you were appointed Adjutant General by Governor Parson in August 2019, the Guard has been mobilized to assist Missouri's COVID-19 response, mobilized to offer help following some natural disasters, as well as sent to the country's southern border to help with immigration issues. So beyond those examples, what are some other, or even with those examples, what exactly does the Guard provide as feet on the ground? What are the services that they're able to provide?
I think what's great for your listeners to know, and so many of them know, that the Missouri National Guard consists of two services, the Army National Guard and the Air National Guard. Boots on the ground services that they provide, that we provide, array across, I think it's 250 occupational specialties. We have 88 different units with those 250 occupational specialties. So we provide from truck drivers to carpenters, brick masons, pilots, organizational office skill sets, managerial, obviously, all oriented towards that dual mission I just spoke to, federal defense, nation's defense, and supporting the governor when he calls us to duty. And any given day, we're training to enhance our readiness, to be prepared when we're called by our nation or our state. And those areas that you mentioned, I am so proud of your National Guard, our National Guard, and how they work with the interagency, because that's part of the requirement, is how to bring the Guard and all the other agencies together, or how do we come together with them to win, to solve the problem, whether it be COVID-19 response with testing and giving vaccinations, to supporting our civilian authorities, security agencies, from highway patrol to local law enforcement during the times of the civil unrest, to the flood fighting that you mentioned. And we are consistently ensuring that we have men and women trained and ready to perform both those mission sets.
So when we talk about the Guard, how big is it in Missouri? I mean, how many, I guess, first of all, let's say there are some who are full-time, such as yourself, some who are part-time. So how big is the force?
It's just right at 12,000 total service members. Those service members are Army National Guard soldiers of just over 9,100. And the Air National Guard, airmen, just over 2,200. And then there's a little over 500 state employees that round out the 12,000. And we all work together to accomplish the dual mission. That's the size. That's the service members, employees themselves. But that team expands to our families, our employers, our communities, you, Gary. And we appreciate the team of teams that come together.
Well, I think, and obviously for generations, I mean, the relationship between the Guard and employers to help those, kind of explain how that works.
Yeah. And to loop back to, you asked me about the full-time force, and I failed to mention that. Of those 12,000, there's 2,500 full-time, again, active Guard, Army, and Air, and then state employees. To your question about, you're asking how does the employer and the relationship with the Guard work?
Yes.
It's a great question, because our Guard men and women need their employers' support. And we're blessed with great employers. Any given month, a guardsman is going to go to drill and enhance that training capability that I spoke to earlier by coming together as an organized unit to train together to enhance their effectiveness and efficiency. Without the employer support, we can't do that. We will come together as guardmen and women 2 weeks out of the year on average. Typically so much more than that. Guardmen and women will deploy routinely, as I mentioned earlier, and sometimes up to 9 months, 9 to 12 months at a time. That employer support, I'm so thankful for, and they deserve great credit with that support, because they're serving too in that regard.
Yeah. So how does one join forces with the Guard? Let's say it's someone who has that desire to serve. How does one go about doing that?
We want everyone to join this team.
Yeah.
And we're fortunate to have a number of recruiters across the state that is what they do, that they're focused on attracting, listening. A great example given by you. There are so many folks that are interested in doing it. We want to make sure they're aware of how to come about being a soldier, an airman on our team. So there's recruit stations all across the state. They can call, anyone can call the Missouri National Guard headquarters, and we will orient them to who to visit with that's close to proximity where they are. And there's great benefit for doing that. There's bonus incentives that people can take advantage of, and they range in the thousands of dollars typically. Some of our highest bonus incentives today are between $20,000 and $50,000. And if I may, real quick, just last week, our governor, Governor Parson, signed into law, Senate Bill 912, that bonus money is not taxed, is not state taxed.
That's a great incentive right there. So what sort of folks are you looking for, whether it's technical skills as well as just personality? What are you looking for that makes a good team fit for you?
We're looking for anyone and everyone. And here's why. If you have an inclination to serve, then we want you. And we want to help thicken that desire. While I mentioned tangible benefits like bonus dollars to join the team, there's so many great intangibles to joining this Missouri National Guard team. It's full of purpose. It's full of expanded family, teamwork, leadership skill sets that you acquire while being here, cohesiveness. We have this cultural imperative that we believe in. And to a statement, it's my philosophy, and it says we train, fight, and win while taking care of each other as one team. Once you join this team, you never get off. And it's such a great, amazing family. I look forward to anyone that has a desire and inclination to join.
So obviously here in Jeff City, the Guard has a huge presence. When we talk about the Guard, I mean, what's its presence here in Jefferson City?
In Jefferson City alone, there's multiple locations, at least three. The Jefferson City Cooper Flight Facility across the river, where there is aviation assets stationed there. Many people will know it as the Blue Armory. As you cross the Missouri River south into Jefferson City, it's staring at you there. There's a unit there by name, it's called the 835th Combat Sustainment Support Battalion. And there's also another aviation entity stationed there. That sustainment battalion, by the way, is focused on logistics, getting supplies across the area of responsibility. And also our recruiting and retention battalion headquarters is there in that Blue Armory. And then clearly, our Missouri National Guard headquarters is stationed just 6 miles east of town here, right on the Missouri River. It's where my office is, but then all of our other teammates, the joint staff that comes together to do what we do with many other units. There's a 70th Public Affairs Detachment. There's a Military History Detachment there. There's a Trial Defense, so lawyers serve there. Really a robust presence here in Jefferson City. If I could stretch that to just the state, there are, I want to say, 88 different types of units across the state housed or stationed at 65 different locations, whether that be an armory, like I referred to here as the Blue Armory, an armory in Clinton, Missouri, Warrenton. There's, again, 65 of those spread across the state.
Right.
Armories like that, to include larger training facilities like Camp Clark in Nevada, Camp Crowder in Neosho. There's Rosecrans, the Air National Guard base in St. Joseph, the Weidman Air Force Base, where we have, hey, by the way, when the B-2 is flying, you don't know if that's an active duty or your Missouri Air National Guard flying that platform. It's what we refer to as a total force integration partnership, an active component wing and an Air National Guard wing working together to do that for our nation. But other areas, Ike Skelton Training Site, Jefferson Barracks in St. Louis, and then, as I mentioned, the armories around the state.
Yeah, quite an expansive network. So having been a lifelong member of the military, what are some of the challenges that a member of the military faces that maybe the member of the general public doesn't understand?
I'd also like to speak to challenges in general and nest that to your question. Our nation is not an isolated nation, right? There are threats that we face today. And those challenges, those threats, our national defense strategy calls out in an unclassified manner. There are nation states, China, Russia, North Korea, Iran, violent extremist organizations. That's probably our deepest challenge that obviously warrants the need to the readiness that I've spoke to at length to always be ready. And then we mobilize troops to go on our mission sets, secure our nation's defense, and support our state when called. So in that aspect of the question of what do service members face and maybe, you know, other citizens, is it's a selfless service that we provide. And there are sacrifices that come with it, but it's well worth it. To join you, you go to basic training, right? And then we ask you to be part of a unit that may deploy and is likely to. And being deployed away from your family and loved ones is a is again a service and a sacrifice that people are willing to make when they raise their right hand and swear an oath.
Their lives continue on, right?
They do. Yeah. So the separation of loved ones is a commitment that not all people deal with. But yet, I just remind folks that, man, I'm so proud of them for the selfless, sacrificing service they're committed to for our greater good.
Yeah. Well, LaVon, I've known you for a few years, and you've always struck me as one of those strong leaders with that servant heart that you speak of. So what drives you every morning when you lace up those boots, head off to work for a day that might present some unique challenges as well as opportunities? What drives you?
I'm driven more and more by the simple fact that freedom isn't free. And I'm so encouraged by people that are willing, again, to selflessly sacrifice to secure our way of life. I'm committed to that. I'm committed to it. I'm committed to them, members on our team, but to our state and to our nation. I'm driven to win. We're going to win. It's an attitude that should permeate everyone. We're going to continue to enjoy the freedoms that have been handed to us for generation after generation, and sometimes over blood. And I don't take that for granted. I've had such a wonderful life. I'm an old soldier today. I'm so thankful and proud of it, frankly. And I want my children that I've referred to and their spouses and our grandchildren to enjoy the same fruits that have been gifted to me by generations that have come before. We must preserve it. And I'm committed to it.
LaVon, thanks for joining us today. Thank you for your service.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me. I'm heartened by you, Gary. I appreciate you welcoming us into your home here in the News Tribune to share a little bit about the Missouri National Guard. And as I've mentioned this call to duty throughout the interview, I would just offer that as a closing. I encourage all of you that are serving to stay, and encourage all of you that are considering it. And if not, please consider it. I've never met a person that's regretted serving, but I've met many that have regretted not serving. Come join the team. We got a spot for you.
Thanks for listening. You can find News Tribune on tap at newstribune.com, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Play.